be joining in prayer. I know you've been praying. We have a meeting with the city on May 5th. So this will be the preliminary meeting with the planning and zoning. We have to get the zoning changed to build our daycare. And we're so excited about that. And you be thinking, do you need a job? What can you do? We're gonna need teachers. We're going to need assistants. We're going to need all kind of staff. And I'd love to be able to do that right here out of our home. And so we'll be letting you know more than about that. But we've got to go before city council. Then, if they approve it, we move on to the actual city council. This is the preliminary zoning board. So be praying. That meeting will be on May 27th. And if we get approved, then boom, man, we are going to start, get our blueprint done, and we're looking to house about 100 children, and it is going to be amazing. So be praying with us for that. Hey, are y'all ready to go to another room? Now, if you did not get one of these cards when you came in, lift your hand real quick. Ushers will get them. We see hands all over. Yeah, ushers, they're getting to you. Hopefully you have a pen. Borrow one from your neighbor. We're just going to share some things with you today. All right. Pastor Marcel, would you do me a favor? Will you go turn these big lights off? Let's just have these spotlights today. All right, everybody's going up here. There's two back there in the sound booth. Don't forget them. All right. Whew. Everybody take a deep breath. All right, we're ready. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you today for the house. Thank you for the foundation built on Jesus. Thank you that we're covered with love. And Father, in this house, there are many rooms. And I thank you, Lord, as we go room by room, I pray that you would minister to homes, to families, to individuals, to couples, to children. And I thank you, Lord, that those that are believing for a future home, I thank you, Lord, that just let them take all of this in today. Lord, these young people, these college students, and these ones that are dating, and those engaged, and those newly married, and those oldly married, and thank you, we all need the house. And we just pray today that you speak to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said a big amen. I don't know if that's an earring or what that is. Last week, where were we last week? The living room, yeah. So let's light it up. So man, the living room, last week we talked about is a gathering place. The living room is a place of conversation. It's a place of hospitality. The living room is where you spend the majority of your time. The living room is the hub of the house. There in the living room, you go out. You go to the kitchen and come back. You go to the bedroom, come back. You go to the bathroom, come back. You go to individual rooms and come back. It's where we spend the most of our time. It's where we raise our family. It's where we watch TV and we play games. It's where we're entertained. It's where we watch our children learn to crawl and to walk. And it's a wonderful place. And so if you missed that lesson last week, be sure to go back last week and listen to the living room. But today, we're going to another room. So, in the living room, just go with me to the living room, okay? It's been a good day. You've worked hard. Come home, you've showered, you've you ate a good meal. And you're sitting there and you're watching TV. You're relaxing. You're sitting on the couch. You're snuggled up to your spouse. You're holding hands and patting knees. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. All of a sudden, something happens. I've been really trying. All of a sudden, everything changes. You look at one another and you say, I didn't say it, he did. You want to go upstairs? Or you want to go wherever? And everything changes. Today we're talking about the master bedroom. Today I've got 4 points and a sad story. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of the master bedroom, okay? Can we do that? Don't worry, I'm going to make it, it's not going to be too bad. My brother won't even need the sack for his head. He told me, if you be sure to let me know when you're peed, I can bring a sack so nobody can see my face. The master bedroom, number one, if you're taking notes, and we're going to get to your note card in just a few moments. Miss Amy will come and share some things with you. Let me get turned down just a little bit. I don't want to blow you out. Is that better? There we go. So the master bedroom, number one, the master bedroom is a private sanctuary where a couple can rest. In your marriage, you need rest. How many has ever been tired? I'll tell you something. When you're tired, when you're hungry, you get cranky. Nobody likes cranky in the bedroom. Okay? I always tell couples when we're having our marriage seminars and things, if you're going to fight, go fight in the garage. Never fight in the master bedroom. When you walk in that room, that is a place of rest. It's a place of peace. It is a sanctuary. It's a retreat. What is a retreat? It's where you go to get away from everything else. You retreat to a safe place. You retreat to a peaceful place. You retreat to a calm place. You retreat. Say, Pastor, what am I retreating from? The kids. The job. The family. The stress. The work. The master bedroom is a retreat. The master bedroom is a space, amen, for couples to get away from distractions. The master bedroom needs to be a place of focus. It's a place where you don't focus on yourself, but you focus on the other person. You see, a marriage takes two. And marriage is not. Now, if somebody taught you this, if you learned this in a marriage seminar or in counseling, I'm sorry. They're wrong. Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. It's each partner giving 100% of their self to the other one without expecting anything in return. Well, Pastor, where'd you get that from? Jesus. From the Bible. Because marriage is a picture, we're going to see it in just a moment, is a picture of the church. Marriage is a picture of Jesus and His bride. It's a picture of the relationship that God, amen, had with His Son and His Son has with us. It is a sacrificial love. It is an agape love. Oh, now I like phileo love. It's friendship. You got to have friendship. You got to have friendship with your spouse. You need to at least like them. Very important. And you build friendship and you build relationship. That's why it's so important. It blows my mind. People get it out of order. Let's have sex and then tell me your name. Then let's see if this works. And then down the line, let's get married. And then that's not the biblical principle. When you do things out of order, what God created to bring peace brings chaos. What it brought to bring a bond brings shame. And so we got to do it right. So let's look at Genesis. If you're going to do, let's go to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky. He brought them to man to see what he would call them. And man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky, the wild animals. But there were still no helper just right for him. The Lord looked at the bird and said, "Nah, that ain't going to work." He looked at the giraffe and said, "Nah, that's not going to do it." He looked at all the animals and said, "No, that's all good. They're all made after their kind." But the Bible says that for man there was no helper. And so God, now let me read that again. But still there was no helper just right for him. Now I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. So if you're reading King James, it's going to be a little different. But I just want to stop right there and tell you, there is... if you're looking, if you're wanting to get married someday, if you're young, I'm telling you, there is that person that's just right for you. If you meet Mr. Right, now me, y'all know, listen, I met Mrs. Right. I just didn't know her first name was Always. And I said that in the garage, not in the bedroom. Okay. But there is somebody just right for you. Now, even with the perfect marriage, the perfect spouse, there's still problems. There's no perfect marriage because there's no perfect people. But God has somebody just right for you. Let's move on. So the Lord caused man to fall into a deep sleep. While man slept, the Lord took one of man's ribs and closed up the opening. Now, I just so you know, I've heard this. I've had this question asked to me so many times. Why can't I understand my wife? Why can't I understand women? Well, because we were asleep when God made them. That didn't go very well. So God caused man to fall into sleep. While he slept, he took out one of his ribs, clothes opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man, and the man woke up. At last, the man exclaimed, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called." Whoa, man. And God said, "Okay, woman it is. Because she was taken from man." This explains why a man shall leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So we have the biblical description of how God created. God was the one that performed the first wedding. He created woman. Your wife was created for you. Brought to you by God. Blessed by God. We all know how that turned out. Mistakes were made, weren't they? Consequences are still being felt today. And marriages have struggled. One or the other gets something out of order. But God created marriage to be a one man, one woman for life. So the master bedroom, number one, is a private sanctuary. It's a place where you retreat from life. It's a place where you retreat from all the troubles of life. And now, I'm going to invite my wife up because last week I did it and we all know how that turned out. So I'm going to call her and I'm going to let her decorate the master bedroom because, listen, whatever she wants to do, she can do in there. Whatever how many pillows she wants to have on the bed, she can have on the bed. Now, this right here, anybody know what this is? It's a bed. It's a place where we're going to sleep. It's a place where we're going to connect. This is the marriage playground. From the very beginning, kids play, don't they? They get home from school, what do they want to do? Go outside and play. I want to go to the jungle gym and play. I want to go out here and play. I want to go to the park and play. And men, they have a great imagination, don't they? Me and Collins go out. She makes me tea. She makes me hot dogs and hamburgers. And she's just, she has such a great imagination. And listen, we as kids, we learn to play. It's stress relief. And then we get married and stop playing. I wonder why we're so stressed out. God doesn't want you to stop playing just because you get old. You just have a different playground. Anyway, we're not going to talk much about that. Anyway, I like a king-size bed. You put that wherever you want. Sorry, she's got to fix me. Now, while she's doing that, because we have all kind of stuff in there, we'll talk about it a little bit. You go ahead and just decorate it all up how you want to. Now, number two. Everybody say number two. The master bedroom is a space where a couple can build intimacy and connection, both emotionally, both emotionally, physically, and spiritually. If you think intimacy is not spiritual, you're missing the whole point. If it's just physical and out in the world, when there's no relationship, when there's no commitment, when there's no marriage until death do us part, it is just physical. And it feels good for a moment, but there's no lasting effect. There's no blessing that comes with it because it is spiritual. God said when a husband and wife come together, they become one flesh. It's covenant. When Jesus died on the cross for us and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, His blood covers all of our sins. And when the Father looks at us, He doesn't see me. He sees His Son Jesus. He doesn't see my sins. He doesn't see my failures. He doesn't see my shortcomings. He only sees the blood of His Son Jesus, and He sees relationship. He looks at a husband and wife, and He sees them as one person, so much so that He said if you are mad at one another, He will not even hear your prayer. He said, go make it right, and then come, and I'll accept you. God takes marriage seriously. And He takes intimacy seriously. Can I just go ahead and share with you a secret? It's going to blow your mind. Because you thought it was Hollywood. You thought it was the porn industry. God invented sex. It was God's idea. It was God's design. And it was not just for procreation. Yeah. Out of love, because here's what's going to happen. See, we were in the living room, and we're going to go to the bedroom. And what happens? We end up in the baby's room. Because out of love comes multiplication. Out of union, out of relationship comes growth. You never stay the same when you come into relationship with God. He multiplies your life. He makes you better. He adds to you. And when a husband and wife, as you love each other, first comes love, then comes marriage, and then comes mama pushing the baby carriage. The master bedroom is a space where this couple can build this relationship spiritually. Do you pray before intimacy? Husband, do you pray and say, Lord, help me be the best I can be tonight? Well, if not, maybe you're missing something. Maybe your wife wants you to pray for some extra anointing. The Lord's, she wants you. Anyway. She's praying for a resurrection. The Lord's not into dead stuff. We just celebrated Easter. The master bedroom is a place that you build this, your spiritual relationship. You build your relationship with God. And as you build your relationship with God and you learn how much He loves you, you're able to love your spouse in the same way. You have her best interest at heart, his best interest at heart. You're not holding anything back, but you're giving freely. You pray, you ask God for help, and then guess what God's doing? See, y'all think God's going, God's going, go, go, boy, go. You can do it. You can do it. He's your biggest cheerleader. And sometimes he goes, oh, Lord, help him. It's a place of connection. Listen, you've got to have a connection. You need to learn to connect, not just physically. You need to learn to connect spiritually. You've got to learn to be able to pray together. You need to learn how to read the Bible together. You need to learn how to discuss important things. You need to learn how to connect emotionally. Anybody can do the physical act, but there's no connection. There needs to be an emotional connection. Women need an emotional connection. They need to feel fulfilled. They need to feel loved and wanted. They need to feel safe. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But this bedroom is a space where you can build. Now, what are we building? A house. But a marriage has to be built on God. On that spiritual relationship, but it has to have intimacy. Otherwise, you're just roommates. You can be roommates with anybody. But now, you need, God wants you to have a connection. I'm telling you, I'll be preaching, and I'll just look that way. She said this morning, she said, you don't even look my way anymore because you don't want to know what I've got to say. We were talking about the musicians are wearing this thing in their ear now, and there's like this little metronome kicking off, clicking the beat, and somebody's...
Not us,
but the big churches. And they were saying that people, somebody in the ear, only the musician here, okay, we're going to course one, we're going to course two. And I said, Amy to say that. Okay, intro's been long enough, go to point one. Okay, you spent enough time there, go to point two. And that's when she said, you don't even look at me anymore. But I'm telling you, we can look at each other across the room, wherever, and just by a glance, by facial expression, by whatever, we know what each other's thinking. We've been married 37 years. Long time. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Y'all gonna like this. Y'all need to memorize this scripture. Genesis 2:25. Everybody say Genesis 2:25. I like it. Some of y'all are scared to say that. You read it first and then we'll see. Now the man and his wife were both naked. They felt no shame. Did you know that shame did not come into the picture until sin came into the picture? You see, when God created husband and wife, man and woman, they were covered in the glory of God. They did not know they had flaws. They only saw the best. They only saw perfect. Why? Because they were created in God's image. And they were like Him. Covered in His glory. So when they looked at each other, all they saw was the glory of God. They were naked and they felt no shame. And the moment that sin came in, immediately they went, and they hid from God and they started hiding from each other. And then they started blaming. It's that woman. The woman said, it's the devil. Adam said, it's the woman. And the blame game started. Instead of just taking responsibility, what would have happened, I wonder, if when they realized what they had done, if they cried, God, help us! And they ran looking for God instead of making God come look for them. I wonder what would have happened. Yeah. But see, man tried to hide and do it his own way. That moment, they lost connection. That moment, it became tough. Curse came. Now there's pain with childbirth. Now the man's got to work by the sweat of his brow. Now then there's thorns and briars and stickers, and life became hard. And it still is, yet we live under a new covenant, a new relationship, and the curse has been broken, and you don't have to live the way the world lives. You can still live in unity with one another. If you do it God's way. So let's just talk about that just a minute more. It's a place of unity and shared ownership. Listen, when the Bible talks about the woman being the weaker vessel, that doesn't mean she's less than. Do you realize she wasn't made out of the foot so that man could go, you're down there, I'm going to step on you? Also, she wasn't made from the head that she should lord over the man. She was taken from his side, from the ribs. What do the ribs do? They protect what? The heart. It protects the heart and the organs, the most important part. The women have the most important job of protecting that man's heart and being there. But they are equal. They stand together in unity. When God says that she's the weaker vessel, it means that she is like the fine china. See, I don't get to eat on fine china very often. We eat on paper plates. Now, every now and then, when the meal's not messy, I wash my paper plate and use it again. Amy's like, throw that away. It's still good. We take our everyday dishes. They're made out of plastic or whatever. Throw those in the microwave. Throw those in the dishwasher. But the fine china, you handle with care. They never go in the dishwasher. You hand wash them. They're handled delicately. It doesn't mean that she's weak. It means she's precious. And she's to be cared for as such. Now, let's jump on to number 3, and then I'm going to invite Miss Amy up. She's going to share some things, and we'll come back and get to point 4. Time's going quickly. Number 3, the master bedroom is a place to where you can cultivate closeness through conversation, through physical intimacy, building trust and comfort. Listen, you have got to learn to get back to naked and unashamed. Can you remember when you first got married? You remember your wedding night? Husband covered up with the sheet. Your wife coming out so scared. I was 21, she was 18. We knew nothing. But I walk around the house naked now. That was more information than y'all wanted to know. Why? Why? Because after 37 years, I'm not ashamed anymore. That's it. The love machine. I mean, you just, you know, there's not, you've seen it all. There's not, you've changed over the year. You learn to get comfortable with one another. And that shouldn't take 37 years. It didn't. But it does take a little while to get to know one another and get comfortable to know that this is a safe place. It's not a place that you go from here to the locker room and talk about with your buddies. It's not a place you go from here to Ross or Marshall's and talk about with your girlfriends. Don't be comparing your husbands. Don't be talking. There has to be some amount of security and safeness. This is a place to where you, just what I talked about earlier, children, it's your playground, and you need to keep that same imagination as a child. Let's do this, let's do this, let's try that, let's swing on these monkey bars. Whatever you want to do. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. Don't defile it. Learn to be open. Learn to talk. Learn to share fantasies. Learn that when your husband or wife shares something with you, that you don't shut them down and go, "What? What's wrong with you? You pervert!" If something you're not comfortable with, say, "Well, let's think about that. Let's talk about that. Let's see. I have two rules. There's two things that you do not want to bring in your bedroom. Okay? Just two. Everything else goes. Number one, we talked about it last week. Pornography. Number two, a third person. Happens all the time. Let's spice up our relationship. Happens all the time. Just found about another one this week. Not in the church. Happens all the time. Because people get bored with one another and they want, and guess what? It never works out. Well, Pastor, tell me how it works. Well, I'll tell you how it works. He's leaving the wife for the other woman. That's how it works most of the time. Don't do it. But whatever happens between you and your spouse, here's what we say. We used to say anything goes, but here's what I say now. It's whatever you can negotiate. You need to learn to be a better negotiator. Well, I asked and she said no. Well, negotiate better. Diamonds helps. I'm just saying. Swing from the chandeliers. Well, anyway, we don't have a chandelier, but if we had one, we could swing from it. Now, I'm going to invite Miss Amy to come up, and she's going to share some things about this card, and then I'm going to come back, and we'll finish number four. And are y'all still okay? Y'all okay? All right.
Amen. So let's look at this little card real quick. So when I love love. Love is just something that I really like. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter. And it's just a description of love. But when we talk about love, we know that the Bible also tells us that God is love. And so the characteristics of love are also the characteristics of God. And so on the one side, we've just got the scripture here, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. And it's from the Children's Bible, so it's worded a little differently. But it says, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable or touchy. Love does not hold grudges. Love is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Now look at the other side. There's some blanks there. Now I could argue that we could sit here and instead of the word love, we could input the word God, and it would hold true. But what if you input your own name? Because that's how we're supposed to love. And it's especially how we're supposed to love our spouse. Because sometimes we can be the sweetest person to our coworkers. We can just be the sweetest to the stranger in Walmart who we hold the door open for, or help them get the buggy loose, or take the buggy back to the store for them when they've seem flustered at their car, or we can just be the kindest to strangers and have the least amount of patience and love for our very own spouse and our very own family, spouses and children. We can easily get just to that point to where we just let words fly, or we act a fool and we just be so ugly to the ones who actually mean the most. So you can't change your spouse. There's nothing that you can do that's going to change their behavior, but you can modify your behavior. And if you are loving like God loves, you're going to get better responses from them. It's just a given. Because when you love others, they're gonna react in kind. So when I taught school, inevitably every year you lose your voice. You know, usually around Christmas time or whatever time, you just get that little cold and you lose your voice, and then you still go to teach and you're whispering to the class and you're whispering and all the kids start whispering back. You know, they're teenagers and they're whispering at you because you're whispering to them. But it's true. Like when you can bring calmness to a situation, when you can bring peace to a situation, you're going to get that back. And I'm guilty of not always doing that. Pastor Samuels told me before, I am not one of your students. Because sometimes I just get this little voice, this authoritative, this is just the way it is because I am Mrs. Always Right. Sometimes I can be that way. Last night we were talking to Jacob and Morgan, our son, and Collins was there. And they were talking about Jacob and his jobs and the things that he's done and how that sometimes he says he can just say things in a certain way and he's just explaining himself, but the other person feels like they're being reprimanded. And Samuel's like, well, he gets that from his mama. Because I can kind of be that way because this is just how it needs to be done. But I need to be more careful, and we are all guilty of that. So let's look at this other side where these blanks are. And I want you to fill in the blank with your name. And then put it on your mirror. And then read it. And if you are not doing these things, then who has to alter? It's not your spouse. But it's you. You've got to look at yourself. And you've got to say, am I loving like God loves? Can I read this and say, Amy is very patient and kind? Well, maybe I seem that way to y'all sometimes. But sometimes I'm not so patient. And maybe sometimes I'm not so kind. I need to be better. Never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Amy does not demand her own way. That's a real hard one because I do like things to go my way. I really do. It's not fun when it's not my way, but I want to be more flexible. I want to be more flexible. Amy is not irritable or touchy. Amy does not hold grudges. Amy is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. I want to be able to read this card and know I'm telling the truth. And I've got things to have to work on me. And I know that everybody does. But that's how we're supposed to love. God gave us these examples for a reason. So that we can adjust ourselves. That we can love others fully. And when we're really thinking about the other person more than we're thinking about ourselves, that's when things work out better. Because you realize, I'm okay. I want to bless them. I want to encourage them. I want them to succeed. And I know when that happens, it's going to benefit me, but that's not my purpose in doing it. My purpose is to see them fulfilled. And that's the whole point to being married. You choose a partner for life who you want to see succeed, and you want to do all that you have in your power to help that person reach that. And you pray that the Lord sends someone who has that same like mind for you. And if you're loving them like God loves and they love you like God loves, then it's going to be successful. Yeah, you're going to disagree sometimes. But can we make a pact to treat our spouse at least as good as we treat a stranger? Because I feel like they get the worst of us when they should be getting the best of us. And so it's a hard place to be, but we can work on that. Have you read that other scripture?
Not yet.
Okay, because I think that really goes right along with it. It's also 1 Corinthians, but chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. So this is called instruction on marriage. Now, regarding the questions you ask in your letter, yes, it's good to abstain from sexual relations. But because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations, unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. I think King James adds, and fasting. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So basically, it's saying right in there, your body is not your own. When you come together and you agree and you get married, the woman's body becomes the man's, and the man's body becomes the woman's, and it's a gift. It's a gift. And that's why it's so important to save yourself for marriage, because it's a gift that is just for that one person. And like many people, maybe you've already, you know, messed up that way outside of marriage. Well, start fresh today, because the Lord can give you the right person, and they're going to be so excited to know that even from today, April the 19th, 2026, until your wedding night, that you made a commitment and decided to wait for them. It really will make a difference, because it's just that much more special. If you are a virgin and you've never had sex before, I encourage you to save yourself, because it's a gift you cannot get back. It's something that once you give it away, you never again get to have that first time again. No matter, you just can't. You can't recreate it. God can touch your heart. He can give you a partner to come along beside you, to encourage you and help you, and y'all can still flourish. But if you haven't done that yet, I say wait. Wait. It's worth the wait. I'm so proud of my kids because they waited. And what a blessing to their spouses. And that's more than I can say. And maybe it wasn't my fault, but I still can't get it back, right? So I say, save it. And know that the Lord has given you this gift. And then when you share it with someone who really loves you, it really is a gift. And it just is magnified so much more in your relationship and in that intimacy that you build with one another. And it's a picture. It's so much more than just this relationship between husband and wife. It's like the most perfect earthly picture that we can have of Jesus and his love for us. He compares it in the Bible as he is our bridegroom and we are his bride. And our Heavenly Father delights in us, and it is his desire to have an intimate relationship with us where he knows us from the inside out, where he knows our quirks. He knows what buttons to push and what buttons don't go there. But that's the most perfect picture that we have. And so we have this Heavenly Father who desires to be intimate with us on a daily basis. And if you're not having a daily quiet time, I encourage you to implement that first. Because you can't love others if you don't love God first. Because God is love. And it's his love and his joy and his character that's going to fashion how you reach out to others. And it's most importantly to your spouse. And I say most importantly, we're going to talk about kids, and kids are important. But in reality, how long do you have kids in your home? 18 years, maybe 21, 25 at most, you know, for a while. But not forever. Not forever. But you were together before they came, and you're going to be together when they leave. So you've got to keep this relationship open and fresh and new and communicating with each other and knowing who one another are, because a lot of times those kids leave and then you're like, who are you? Because all your attention was on the kids. And we just can't be that way. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty. So we have to pick today as our starting point. Okay, let's go back to the basics. Where have I left out? What have I not been patient about? What have I not been kind about? Why have I demanded this thing? Pick your battles. Pick your battles. It doesn't all have to go your way. Prefer one another. Choose them over yourself. And make the decision that I don't like everything about them. Maybe they're not doing everything perfect right now. But I can't change that, but I can change me. And work on yourself. And have that time with God, because the more time you spend in the presence of God, the more of his character is going to come out of you. How are you going to bear fruits of the Spirit? By spending time in the Spirit. That's where your patience and your kindness and your gentleness and your self-control, where all those fruits come from, is from being in his presence and spending time with him.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Amy. It is 12:02, and I am more than happy to call it done.